Discover the Book, a daily look into the life-changing truths of God's Word with Dr. John Barnett. Hello again, this is your host, Brian Shoup, and it's my privilege to welcome you to the broadcast today. In fact, all of us here at Discover the Book want you to know how glad we are that you're here. To express our thanks in a tangible way, we have a gift for you. If you'll visit our website, discoverthebook.org, and tell us where to email it, we'll send you a free copy of today's message. Either a text file or an audio file, it's your choice. And while you're there, take a look around and find out more about Discover the Book Ministries and the helpful materials available to you there. Something else that's free, Dr. Barnett's daily devotional email. It's a great stimulus to your own personal Bible study. Just let us know you want to be included, and we'll gladly do just that. Discover the Book is written as one word, .org. Our phone number is 866-815-2601. 866-815-2601. And if you'd like to write us and let John know just how much these messages mean to you, our email address is radio@dtbm.org. Your notes are such an encouragement to all of us here. That's radio@dtbm.org. Well, let's get to the book, God's Word. You know, when I was very young, I remember thinking that I would never be able to play football in high school because those players, in my 10-year-old mind, may as well have been superheroes. They were enormous. Of course, when I was 17, I discovered that they were just ordinary guys who had added to their routine the habits of practice and training that continued every day throughout the season. Could it be that Bible heroes were just ordinary people with some added habits? Well, to accomplish great things for God, what's the training program? What are those habits that can change a person from ordinary to extraordinary in the spiritual realm? Well, ready to follow along in your own Bible? Here to open the book for us is our teacher, Dr. John Barnett.
Remember that only those things that are attached to God escape burning. In fact, anything unattached to God will burn up and be consumed, or else will be burnt forever and ever. And those things that are attached to God, that are eternal, are accomplished by those who are His servants. David's life was an example of godliness to others. God uses the action of His servants for His glory. David was a powerful testimony in speech, and it was all because people noticed the prime facet of his life, the primary quality: the Lord was with him. And if you think about that, I always, my mind goes back to old Joseph in the prison, unjustly accused, laid in irons, crying out for all that he was going through to God, as the 105th Psalm tells us. But what it says is that the whole time Joseph was in prison, the Lord was with him. And that's all you need to succeed, is the Lord to be with you. And the Lord wants to be with us, and he wants to live out through us. And so we see that David's life was an example. So what do people see in my life? What do they remember? What do they report to others? It's a good question to be pondering. Is what others see in my life something they report to others that pleases God? Or do they say, boy, he is really, you know, caught up with himself, or really driven for his career? Or what is it that people, when they see us and they talk about us to other people, what is it they point out? God uses humble servants. David never sought the spotlight. If you look at David's life, he didn't like the spotlight. Daniel, another kindred heart with David, didn't like the spotlight. Remember what Daniel said when the king was bringing out all these gold chains and robes and everything? He says, you can give that to somebody else. But I will tell you what you need to know, King Belteshazzar, because there is a God in heaven, and I'm going to point to him. But he didn't want the spotlight. David didn't want the spotlight. David resisted the pride that often tempts us after great accomplishments. What was a great accomplishment? He just got anointed. David just got anointed by the prophet of the Lord, by the representative of God. He was picked out of his family. He was marched in front of them. They all were shown, he's the man. He's anointed. He's God's man. He's going to be the next king. And David never succumbed to the temptations of pride that come after great accomplishments. David had a job to do, and he humbly did it. He was consistent, faithful, and dependable as a humble servant. Look what verse 19 says. Therefore, Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me your son David. Now, what does the next part of the verse say? Who is with the sheep? Now, wait a minute. After David was anointed by Samuel as the next king, what did he do? Well, you just saw Samuel anointing him in verse 13. In verse 19, where's David? He's back with the sheep. You know what's so amazing about this to me? Did he hang up a sign and say, King David lives here? I mean, and put his feet up and, you know, get out a scepter and say, you go watch the sheep. You know, no. He went back to his obscure, humble, monotonous job with those dumb and dirty sheep. God uses humble servants. David didn't change a bit from pre-anointed as king to post-anointed as king. He didn't read the newspaper articles about himself. He didn't get intoxicated with his own reputation. He just went on. See the humility. He just kept on being David, servant of the Lord. David never seemed to let life go to his head. Whether he tended sheep, worked as a courier for his dad during the war, taking provisions to his brothers, whether he had been hired by the government, King Saul, and worked in the various departments, he was an entertainer. Militarily, he was sent out as the greatest commando. He never thought he was, you know, Rambo himself. He didn't think he was great. Finally, he became a member of the king's cabinet. He sat at Saul's table as an advisor to the king. Didn't get swollen up with that either. You see, God energized this humble servant. And God uses humble servants. When Saul sent messengers to Jesse in verse 19 and says, send me your son David, he was David who is with the sheep. He's humble. David's life displayed true humility. After being elevated to being king, David goes on with life. He stays the same humble servant of the Lord he was before that day. God loves humble servants. Look at verse 23. David's life also, not only was he a humble servant, David's life was a ministry to others. And God uses the ministry of servants for his glory. Verse 23. And so it was, whenever the Spirit from God was upon Saul, and that wasn't a positive thing, that was a troublesome spirit, that David would take a harp and play it with his hand. And look at this. Then Saul would become refreshed and well, verse 23 says, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. Boy, did David have a ministry in the lives of others. David's love and passion for God warmed the souls of those around him. It started back when those who saw him in verse 18 described him. And they said, man, this guy is skillful with the harp. The Lord is with him. When he does what he does, it warms our souls. And Saul says, I have a cold soul and I need someone to warm my soul. Go get him. And so this spirit-energized servant walks in to the presence of Saul. And David ministered to him in the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you have a ministry? Do you allow God to energize you? Does your passion for God warm the souls of those around you? Whenever I think of this, I always think about before I was in full-time vocational ministry. Don't you remember? Some of you still are out there in the cold, cruel world. Do you remember what it's like with those heartless, cutthroat, competitive, dishonest at any moment business people that sometimes you have to work with? And I remember I used to come home to Bonnie and tell her all my escapades with the management when they'd come in from New York to travel with me as a salesman, and how at the end of the day they would stop and ask questions, and they'd say, how can you be a salesman and be honest? Because I used to take returns. You know, salespeople always are too busy to take returns of defective stuff or overstocked stuff, and I always took the returns. And the management says, how can you do that? I said, always pays off. You know, if you're honest, they'll order from you. I just thought, you know, honesty always pays. You can be a ministry to others. almost everybody I worked with in the old days when I was corporate sales, almost all of them, before long, would accept a Bible or would talk, take the track and talk about it. Because Spirit-energized ministry warms the hearts, even of the lost, at least warms them up, and the Spirit of God gives them an opportunity to hear about the Lord. And David, spiritual influence could even calm demonized Saul. And remember, Jesus said we're to be salt. That's preserving the decay around us. We are to be light. We're to be beacons of truth pointing at Christ to a lost and dying world. By your kindness and goodness, impress a lost world with Christ's love. Do you remember what the book of Acts says Jesus Christ did? He went around doing good. We impress the world with Christ's goodness and kindness and love if we allow the Spirit of God to energize us. And our passion for Christ, our passion for His love shed abroad by His Spirit will be a minister to those around us. He ministered to others, but also he wanted to honor God with his work. God is glorified by diligent working servants. So few. There are 300,000 churches in America, so that means one out of every 1,000 Americans are pastors, okay? So a full-time vocational pastor is one in 1,000. But you know what God wants out of the 999 others? Right here. To honor God in your work. Look at verse 15 of chapter 17. David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. You know what David did? He loved his work. He didn't just drop that like a hot potato. He didn't just say, boy, I'm the anointed king and now I'm the entertainer for the king. No. David was responsible. He kept at his job till it was finished. Can you imagine what a tragedy would have been if David would have had this not finished stuff syndrome that you see so often nowadays? There's so many people go through life and they're just littered with a whole bunch of unfinished everythings. And I'm not just talking about materially, I'm talking about spiritually too. They just say, I'm going to do this and they never do it. I'm going to do this and they never do it. Can you imagine if David was afflicted with that? If he was not hardworking and honored God by finishing what he started? Can you imagine if we just had the Lord is my shepherd? How would you like to go through life with only Psalm 23:1a and miss all the good parts, especially when you get old, dwelling in the house of the Lord forever, that he's going to go with us through the valley? David finished the jobs he was assigned. Think about next time you're blessed by something he did as he wrote half of the Psalms. Think about how much work it was to be obedient to the Lord and to finish what the Lord called him to do. Well, how did he honor the Lord with his work? Well, nothing entrusted to him was too small for him to maintain. He had been entrusted by his father with his father's sheep. So he did it. He maintained that trust. Go all the way down to verse 34, because David was willing to sacrifice for just one lamb.
You're listening to Dr. John Barnett, pastor of Calvary Bible Church in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Find out all about him at discoverthebook.org or stay tuned for more information at the end of today's program.
He wasn't ashamed of what God entrusted him to do through his dad. He wasn't embarrassed of how lowly that is. When a lion or a bear came, look at verse 34, and took a lamb out of the flock. He says, when a lamb, one, got taken, verse 35, I went out after it, the lion or the bear, and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. Did you catch that? David cared for one lamb. You see, God saw he wanted to honor God with his work, that he was concerned. He could have said, man, I got most of them safe, Dad. Only lost a couple. No, I mean, he wouldn't let one get away and get carried off by a bear or a lion. He struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And the end of verse 35, and when it rose against me, I don't know if he hit it with a staff or bonked it with a slingshot, I don't know, but when it came to, the lion or the bear, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. I was pretty concerned for one sheep. What I think about is as a shepherd, David was willing to risk his own life for one lamb. Why? Because his dad entrusted him with that flock, because that was his job, he was supposed to do it, That's what he was called to do. It was for his family. That's their livelihood. It was for David to know that he could follow through and do what he was supposed to do. And if he was supposed to do that, and if his dad said, you're supposed to protect those sheep, then he was going to protect those sheep. And he did it. An amazing thought. David had to risk his life for a lamb, for his dad, for his family. He took life seriously and responsibly. By the way, when do great men and women become great men and women? When they're little men and little women, and they start taking life responsibly. Why is that? Well, keep your finger here and listen to Jesus in Matthew 25. Because when I read about David, I can hear Christ's voice in the background. Okay, Matthew 25. Why don't you look at Matthew 25, verse 21. Because David had been entrusted with something small, he was very faithful. And this is what Jesus says in Matthew 25, 21. This is how Jesus, who's going to judge whether or not we were a good and faithful servant, this is the way he measures our lives. Matthew 25, 21. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Now, this is the parable showing who the servant that God will honor, who he is. He's the one that was faithful in little things. Most people just forget the little things. They are looking for the big things. And God says, no, no, it's the little things you're forgetting that I'm measuring your life by. Most of us will rarely be able to do a big thing. We won't be able to translate the Bible into some language like William Carey did, probably most of us. Most of us will not be able to open up the entire land of China to the gospel like Hudson Taylor did. Most of us will not have 5,000 converted cannibals that were totally transformed by the gospel of Christ like C.T. Studd did, or raise millions of dollars like George Mueller did, and actually raise an entire generation in godliness as he brought thousands of young people through his homes and trained them in Bristol, England 150 years ago. Most of us will never do that. But God isn't looking for the big things. He's looking in Matthew 25, 21, who was faithful over a few things? Who got all the grief in the talent deal? The one that got one and buried it. That's the one that got in trouble. The one that got five only made five. The one that got ten made ten. Big stuff. The one that got one got in trouble because he buried it. Now, there are spiritual implications to that, but just let's go on the surface, okay? And think about this verse, verse 21. It is a continuation of our little choices that makes us great. You will never become something in the future you are not doing right now. Your current habits and character will only enlarge. Are you responsible like David or careless like his brothers? That is something we need to think about. Are you self-absorbed like Saul was, or are you others-oriented like David was? While you're in Matthew, keep going over a couple books to Luke 16:10. Hear Jesus' voice again. Okay, Luke 16 and verse 10, a little bit further to the right. Jesus says, he, Luke 16:10, who is faithful in what is least, is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. What has God entrusted to you? Adults, he's given you a marriage if you're married. He's given you a job if you have a job. He's given you a family if you have a family. Are you being faithful in little things? What has he entrusted you to? Young person, what's he entrusted you? You going to school? Do you have a room? Do you have a little brother or sister? Do you have a job? What is it? What little thing has he entrusted you to? Because if you can't be faithful in that little thing, how can he give you bigger things? That's what he's talking about here. He says, how can I give you what is much if you can't be watching over what is little? It's not how big something is. It's whether or not you're responsible. It's whether or not you are a servant. David wanted to honor the Lord with his work, and God is glorified when we're diligent in our work. And he was diligent in what was little. And God honored him. Real quickly, back to 1 Samuel 17, because David also wanted to honor God with his habits. God is either honored or dishonored by the habits of his servants. You know, there's a lot of writing about this, you know, the habits of highly successful people. Well, what are the habits of God's servants? Well, here are some habits that are really amazing. Have you noticed David's habits in 1 Samuel 17:20? This verse lists several. David is disciplined, responsible, trustworthy, and obedient. It says in verse 20, so David arose early in the morning. He had what I affectionately call mind over mattress, okay? He could get up. You know what Proverbs says about the sluggard? They turn on their bed like a door on its hinges. You know, they just flip-flop, 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 you know, and they wear out the snooze button on their alarm. They just, you know, it's just perpetual. Now, I'm an observer. You know, I look at this auditorium, and the clock is right there. Did you know the same people come in the same number of minutes late almost every week? Did you know that? I noticed that. You choose to be 12 minutes late, 15 minutes late, 17, some of you 21. I mean, it's just like clockwork. I sit up in my office a lot of times finishing up my Sunday morning message, and I watch the Sunday school crowd come in. The same people are running across the parking lot every week at the same time. It's like their clock is off by, you know, however many minutes. Do you know what? God wants us to honor him with our habits. Some people have the habit of making everyone wait for them. Do you think that honors God? No. It's our choice. David rose early in the morning. He left the sheep with a keeper. He had a habit of being responsible. He disciplined his body. He said, get out of bed and get up, body. And the body did. And then he was responsible. He left the sheep with a keeper. I mean, this was the anointed king. This was the entertainer of the king. He didn't have to watch those sheep. He took his sheep and asked someone to watch them for him. He left the sheep with a keeper. And then he took the things. And this was important, David, and yet he took the things his dad sent to his brothers. He could have conveniently forgotten all that stuff, not messed around with it. And he went as Jesse commanded him. David wanted to honor God with his habits. David had some neat habits. He was disciplined. He was responsible. He was trustworthy. He was obedient. Do you really think that's the first time he acted that way? Do you think this was his first time that he had good habits? No, no, no. Be careful what habits you allow to grow up and take hold in your life. Every action and habit we allow has either a positive or a negative consequence in our lives. Beware of bad habits and sinful action, because sin always will pay us back. If you cultivate the flesh, then the scriptures say, from the flesh will reap corruption. Sin always pays us back with boredom, guilt, shame, loneliness, confusion, emptiness, loss of purpose, not to speak of loss of rewards. If we have the habit of indulging ourselves, our flesh, we will lose our rewards. Obedience always produces eternal blessings. And finally, verse 25, and we'll come back to this. David, lastly, wanted to honor God with his life. I love this. He had a divine perspective. He was God-fearing. Immediately, David always thought of one thing. When he comes into a situation, he didn't think, what can I do for myself? What can I get out of this for myself? How can I advance myself? He thought, what can I do for the Lord? He wanted to honor the Lord with his life. Look at these last two verses, 17, 25, and 26. Chapter 17, 25th verse. So the men of Israel said, have you seen a man who has come up? Surely he's come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, and give him his daughter, and give him his father's house exemption from taxes. In other words, they were telling all the great rewards that someone could earn. But not David. He's not interested in that stuff. Verse 26, then David spoke to the men who stood by him and said, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? He didn't say, how can I advance myself? How can I get the king's daughter? How can I get taxes off? How can I become superhero? He says, what can I do for God? This enemy is defying God. What are we going to do about that? David wanted to honor God with his life. God wants us as his servants to give our lives back to him. Give your life back to God. Say, lead, direct, use. How can you use me tomorrow at work? How can you use me at school? How can you use me tonight? Who do you want me to pray for if I can't sleep tonight? Who do you want me to give that track to that I'm going to take and pray over? What do you want me to do this week until we gather again or you take me home? I am your servant.
Thanks, John. So it's critical, isn't it, that our focus be on God and not on ourselves. Just the opposite of what the world around us proclaims. To thine own self be true, the world says. Love yourself first. You can be whatever you want to be. His motives shaped his habits, and his habits made him available for God to use him to do great things. Jesus said that to follow him means to deny myself. Take up my cross and follow his humble example. Well, that's the way I want to live. How about you? But let me ask you, have you ever humbled yourself before God? Have you ever yet recognized your own sinfulness and bowed before the one who died to pay for it all and asked for his forgiveness? Well, you can do that right now and begin today living this radically different and eternally fulfilling life of faith. Please, if God is tugging at your heart, don't put him off. Come to him right now. Well, our time has gone by again. Thanks again for being with us. Let me remind you to visit the website, discoverthebook.org. Stop in and request a text file if you'd like to read it over carefully, or an MP3 audio file if you'd rather listen to it again. Tell us where to email today's message, and we'll gladly do just that. That's discoverthebook.org. And our email to write to us is radio@dtbm.org. Just take a second and write us a note. We'd love it. radio@dtbm.org. Well, we hope you'll plan to join us next time, but till then, we'll pray that you will, wherever you are on life's journey, discover the book.